Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Bernie Cornan, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SB Futures down 6.25. It's almost exactly what they were up yesterday by the end of the day, but they were up a lot earlier. They were up 21 earlier, and then we closed pretty much on our lows, even though we were up. And the Dow was down 96 right now, and the NASDAQ futures down 21. So almost exactly what we gave back yesterday, maybe a little more in the Dow. So we'll see how that all plays out. But as of right now, that's where that is. Big election day in Chicago.
Very big. So new mayor coming in.
Yeah, how come you're voting for the guy you're voting for in our group? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, just on some friends that have told me some things.
Yeah, that he's the closest thing to a Republican.
No. We're not talking about the mayoral race. We're talking about another race.
There's four people running for alderman in our district. How bizarre is that? But
that's a lot.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. Most of these people are like unopposed usually, but not this time.
Quite a few of the aldermen are unopposed.
But even, you know, even this time?
Even this time, yeah. The other amazing thing, there's like at least six or eight that are running unopposed.
I don't want to go down this road, but I will. How did our, in one man's opinion, useless, he's not mine anymore. How did Danny Davis endorse his Willie Wilson guy? Is he shameless or what?
I'm trying to remember.
Willie Wilson's the guy who's scattering out money.
I know that. I didn't remember that Danny Davis endorsed him.
Yeah.
I have opinions about Danny. Danny Davis used to be my representative as well.
Has he ever done anything?
It's been a while.
Between him and the other guy, Bobby Rush, I mean, where do we get these people?
Now, Bobby Rush is another interesting political character because he was one of the founders of the Black Party Panther here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at that time, that was anathema to most of the people in Chicago. And yet he got elected, and he's continued to get elected now for almost 30 years in Congress.
And, you know, this is, I know we have this this thing going here where, as a person who is colorblind, I guess I get to say this stuff. I don't know. I think if you're white and useless, you're useless. If you're black and useless, you're useless. I don't really see any difference. I think our problems are. I'm getting to be almost like a snob on this stuff, and I shouldn't be. But I want people there that are going to do something. I mean, I don't even know if Mike Quigley does anything. But for those of you that don't understand kind of what I'm talking about here, is if you look at the gerrymandering that goes on in Chicago, and it's, well, that's a state, a representative.
It's countrywide right now, but let's just stay with the city of Chicago.
But it's if you look at some of the districts, you sit there and go. And I'm sure that in some areas, African-American people feel the same way. And why wouldn't they? I mean, or Republicans or Democrats, whoever you are.
Well, it depends on whether your team is in power or my team is in power. If my team is in power, then I think it's justifiable. If your team is in power in the state, then it's a horrific abuse of power.
Well, I mean, in Chicago, though, it's not Democrat-Republican. It's really like white and black.
Yes. Yeah, that's
and Hispanic, which is...
And Hispanic, because right now, whites in Chicago are the minority. It's non-white is a majority minority. The whites now are less than 50% of the population of the city of Chicago.
Right. But, I guess what I'm saying is when you look at my district, which, I mean, there's this thing called the Ranch Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is considered to be high-end cash, Lincoln Park. There's a lot of people there that aren't high-end cash, but that's considered high-end cash. But there's people that, you know, they're renting apartments for DePaul and everything there too. So not everybody has high-end cash.
Mm-hmm.
But the phenomenon is, and this is what I'm always, you know, kind of ragging about, not because the people who are running just happen to be African-American, but they essentially will take an African-American area and they'll concede that whoever is running there has got some, you know, who's backing them, I don't know, you know, but whatever it is, they're going to win. Let's put it that way. They've got money behind them from some goddamn place. And, so what they'll do is they reach into an area that they think might be white and Republican. No, I don't happen to be Republican. I'm in the middle. But, and they'll grab as much of that area as they can to essentially negate that vote. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
I mean, like Bobby Rush is on the south side. It'll be in a predominantly African-American neighborhood, and then they'll reach out into one or two of the near suburbs that happen to be white with a very small minority of what the total vote will be and essentially negate the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what? I think it sucks, to be honest with you. I mean, mm-hmm. I would never even begin to know any of my state representatives, my state senators, because there's a little reach that comes down North Avenue and grabs my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I mean, essentially, we have people that have done remarkably well at influencing politics in their area, and by that I mean Kevin. His town threw out the trustees because they had some crooked deal and put new guys in, and they worked hard and they were successful. I don't see what in the bleep I could do to change my state senator or representative. When
you can't. You won't have the power. I mean, that's done at the state level. That's done at the Mike Madigan House of Representatives level in the state of Illinois.
Right, but we're going to give this area to this guy. Bobby Rush obviously brings home the bacon or whatever. So we're going to make sure that nobody really white can run against him.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, you know, 20% white people and 80% black in his district.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care so much about that, but it's the idea that they'll grab the 20% white and essentially negate him. Now there's other areas where it's 80% white and you attach a black area and their vote's useless. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not the America that most people signed up for. Or maybe think they did.
No, but you're talking about it in racial terms here in Chicago, but across the country,
well, I understand.
That's also true, and it's more Democratic.
I'm saying there's levels to it. There's, mm-hmm. there's the plain Democratic Republic level, then there's black-white level, there's Hispanic level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but the interesting part is if you look at Gutierrez's district, you look at, is it the fourth? Is he four? I think he's four.
I think he is the fourth district.
If you look at the fourth district on a map, you go, they can't be right.
He's got earmuffs.
Yeah, this map must be wrong. He's got this huge chunk on the south side and a huge chunk on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you're probably the only one in the world that knows this, Brendan. What is the piece, this all has to be contiguous, by the way. What is the piece of property that connects his two districts?
I think it's either Harlem or Mannheim Road.
You'd be wrong. And your worst, there's no way even you, who's been around long enough, could imagine what the strip of property is.
What is it?
It's that piece of land between, you know where 90 runs parallel to 294 for about a mile and a half, 2 miles?
Mm-hmm.
It's the piece of land between the two where nobody lives.
Mm-hmm.
Is that special?
Remember, though, that a lot of these districts were designed. It's really interesting when you talk about unintended consequences of political acts. A lot of what's going on right now is as a result of the Voting Rights Act of the 60s. That in order to guarantee representation to minorities, whatever the stripe of minority you're talking about, but in order to guarantee representation, this type of gerrymandering was permitted by the courts. Because for years and years, there had been no representation or just the opposite.
Well, when you say the courts in Illinois are a political organization.
Well, no. I'm talking about even at the Supreme Court level. I mean, when challenges had been made, it really goes to make sure that minorities had a voice and had the ability to be represented in Congress. Of course, as time goes by, that can be abused with the same arguments being used for Democrat-Republican, and this when I'm talking about this, this is not a Democrat-Republican
no.
argument either way, because both sides do it. I mean, just recently there was that the guy in, was it North Carolina or South Carolina?
Well, nobody's worse than Texas.
Well, no, there is.
Really?
Was a guy in, I think it's either North Carolina or South Carolina, that before the last election was looking at the remap, and it was challenged. And the they've got like 14, I think it was 13 representatives, according to population. And the way that it was redistricted, it came out like 11 to 2 Republicans over Democrats, yet the vote for several elections has been almost 50-50. In fact, in many places, Democrats outvoted Republicans, and yet it was still 11 to 2 or something like that. And when asked about it, he said, well, how can you justify that, and how do you get to this point where it's 11 to 2? And he goes, well, because we couldn't figure out a way to make it 13 to 1.
Right. I'm sure that's the attitude. Well, here in Chicago, the district to guarantee essentially the Hispanics a representative now has also backfired, because there's enough Hispanics in the city where they probably should have two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's one of the downsides of it. That one of the unintended consequences, that now the argument is meant that you go on the other way by having these gerrymandered districts. In fact, you're taking away the possibility and the likelihood of having two or three representatives, and you're guaranteeing them one because
right.
you've packed the area with so many, Democrats, Latinos, blacks, whites, whatever it is that you're trying to protect, but you've taken away from other areas that
well,
could have gone the other way.
I mean, in Chicago, you can talk like this. We've essentially guaranteed the blacks three and Hispanics one, and there's more Hispanics than blacks now, mm-hmm. which is not all that fair.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, your guy, the guy you're voting for to appear to love, the alderman guy, he came to my door. He had this guy shows up, and he was actually walking down the street. It was a cold day.
See democracy in action.
Yeah, he walks up, and he says, well, I went to Harvard. And I said, really? I said, a guy who lived two blocks from me went to Harvard. He was a Unabomber. Look on his face, Brennan. He's like, well, you're going to hold it against me, are you? I actually like the other guy. Actually, I like all three of them. Who's the lady who's running against Michelle Smith?
Leslie Fox.
Yeah, she seemed to. The other kid's real nice, Jacob Ringer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you met him.
I have not.
He's living the thing his whole life, and he's one of these. All these people, I think, are pretty good. I don't know
mm-hmm.
when they get in there what they think they can do. I have no idea, but with Eddie Burke gone, there might be a little bit of a shakeup.
He's not gone yet. It's
Does
not
he
looking
lose?
Real good. I don't know. He's his brother lost. His brother lost in November. That was a shock. But right now there are two Hispanic candidates in the
for?
He was a state rep.
Really?
Yeah. And he had been a state rep for years and years and years, maybe 20 years or so, and he lost the state rep vote.
Well, the whiff's still on the Supreme Court, right?
Yes. Burke's wife is still the Supreme Court
justice.
He still
probably controls judges.
Well, that was taken away from him after the indictment that came, or that
yeah, but how do you take away the fact that you put all these people in office?
No. He has done that. He has been in charge of the judicial slate for a long, long time. But that power, that position, was taken away by Tony Preckwinkle for the Democratic. So going forward, he is no longer the chairman of the committee that appoints judges and the slate of judges in Chicago.
Well, I absolutely, this is not. I seriously hope she loses. Like, we don't need that kind of power. The head of the county board, the head of the party, and the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't think she.
Well, she won't continue to be the county board president if she wins today.
What's your prediction?
It's really, really hard. I mean, obviously, with 14 candidates, that means there's an average of 7%. Which means that an average of 8% could get two people in, which is really a mark against democracy when you think about that. But what I've seen are the numbers that if you get 14-15%, you've got a really good shot at the runoff.
And well, I think if you get 20, you're a shoo-in.
Well, if you're 20, you are a shoo-in to get on the ballot for the runoff. In Chicago, with so many candidates, if nobody gets 50% plus one of the vote, the top two vote getters go into a runoff.
When did we go bipartisan and not Democrat Republican? Is it four elections ago, five?
Something like that. I don't remember exactly when that was first put in place.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does every is that a state law? Does every city have to do that now?
No, I think it's home rule for the city of Chicago that they've done that.
Because Beverly Park was always like that.
Mm-hmm. Remember that in Illinois, under the Constitution, there are what are called home rule powers, where large cities or municipalities that vote home rule powers in are like a mini legislature, like a mini state legislature for a lot of the things that they do.
Hey, you. We have a few minutes here. Last week you started on down a road, and we ran out of time regarding the thing in New York. With we had an interesting caucus last night over at the Sirius, some people from the Fed and a few other people. And even though everybody was somewhat arguing about what the numbers should be to bring an Amazon like to the city and whether they should give them anything or not. Every person at the table, and I'm going to say everybody there was fairly learned.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person, and Maddie, I don't know about your friends, but is convinced that this fallout in New York had nothing to do with my girlfriend AOC and what she said and other people said, that somehow the deal went sour on money. It had nothing to do with that.
Well, that's what de Blasio said. De Blasio said that Amazon didn't like the money and the offer and pulled out. He was really upset about that.
Yeah, and everybody's blaming it on what's her name.
AOC is taking, well, she's taking credit for it.
Oh, all right.
She's taking credit for the fact that this is the voice of the people saying, get out of New York because we don't want you here. Now, the idea that somebody would turn away 25,000 jobs in an area that could use a lot more jobs than that and fairly high paying jobs is a bit of a stretch.
But at what price?
At what price what?
Well, there was New York's cut was going to be $80,000 a job,
right? But then you get into the argument of what are those jobs worth, long term and short term.
Well, I mean, you've got people doing the math that can't do the math. I didn't trust Daly to figure out what the break even was in the parking. Look how that turned out.
Well, that's another example. But you're right that there was a thought that there was too much of a giveaway to Amazon for bringing them in. And, you know, that's a strong argument. But the other thing in the case of AOC, for example, she said, you know, here's $3 billion of subsidy. We're going to take that money now and use it to build roads and pay teachers.
Well, that's right.
And,
yeah, she doesn't realize that one has nothing to do with the other.
Right. That was a scary thing. That was a very scary thing.
I kind of want you to go into a little bit of the history of that when we get a chance later in the show. But I have got to talk about an old grumpy guy concern. I am very impressed with a lot of these young people. That are running. I actually think the guy you're voting for today is a good guy. I think we have really, I don't think Michelle Smith's all that bad. I think we have four good people running for aldermen in our ward. I honestly do.
Now, there's also the possibility, though, in many wards, there are four people who are less than qualified.
Well, that could be, too, but I'm not seeing that. I mean, these people all seem to me pretty darn qualified. Mm-hmm. And although I will say this, I do hold it against Michelle Smith for voting to close the Tinley Center. Because I think that's a real problem.
Yeah.
And I think that was... By the way, why would she get the vote to do that? Was that a city thing? Or was she on the county board or something when she did that?
I don't know.
But I do have a... My concern here is you know, I've read a lot of history about people who actually use the term do stuff. And, no, they weren't all that elected. But you see, you know, you look at George Marshall. You look at, you know, Little Bill... What was his last name? Bill, the guy who was the head of British Secret Service. I don't know. I'll think of the guy's name. It was Bill Donovan was our guy. Was it OOC? OOC? The predecessor of the CIA. Bill Stevenson was the guy's name. These are people where people just work incredibly hard at these jobs. And the knowledge base that you need. I mean, Roosevelt was a master at the guy. I mean, according to Armin Hammer, he's the most brilliant man he ever met. I mean, he would just talk to people, he'd learn, and his mind was like a sponge. Now you see these people, everybody, and I don't mind young people getting involved in politics. I think it's very healthy, but I think at some point you have to realize, and I'm not saying they don't, that the depth of basically the crap we're in is going to take more than just getting in front of a camera and spouting to get some of this done. I mean, you're going to need an Adlai Stevenson somewhere along the line And even Mike Royko said the guy in the Senate would take on the toughest problem, and he and his staff would write a position paper with all these solutions in there for people to debate.
Young people like Donald Trump, they got to stop just getting in front of the camera and yelling, and you know, they need to read a book without a picture. Young people like him need to do that.
What I'm saying is young people have picked up on the idea that the main part of running is getting in front of the camera.
That's because it is.
Oh, yeah.
I also agree with Maddie.
I'm sorry if I said that wrong. I didn't really mean that way, Maddie. I'm saying the people are running in our ward. Every one of those guys, the two guys I've talked to, Brennan's guys and my guy.
I'm guessing the guy that graduated from Harvard has read a book without pictures.
sort of the Unabomber. You know, sort of the guy across the street who blew his parents away. You know, the other guy who went to Harvard. I'm just saying. I'm not denigrating Harvard. I'm just say my experience with it isn't too hot.
What we really need, instead of all these young liberal types who are coming in, Chief, is just some guys who have money and have been very successful in business who can show the world how to run.
What I'm saying is, at some point here, the guys at all ages, all right, need to figure out that part of my job is to put my head to the grindstone or a nose to the grindstone and spend 4 years on an agricultural bill. I mean, that's part of the job, and I just hope that everybody doesn't. I should have said it like Maddie said it. It doesn't take their cue from Trump, and you just don't get there and start tweeting about all the stuff other people are doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think there is actually some work to this.
There is, and I think there's a big knowledge base that politicians need. But I think over the last, let's say, 50 years, there's been a movement in this country, maybe even longer than that, but there's been a movement in this country to between a candidate who runs for office and a leader who can lead in office. And a lot of the leaders don't do well on the campaign trail. They're not flamboyant.
So I'll say it another way. The skill set that allows you to get elected is not necessarily the skill set you want in office.
That's right. In fact, it's antithetical to what you want in office.
Well, it's, you know, God, I was going to say something. Thank God for the break. By the way, Maddie, thank you for that, because it's not what you say, it's what people hear. SB Futures down 6. We come back with Mr. Joel Unkonen.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-8000. 1-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Brennan Cornelius, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 4.25. NASDAQ futures down 19. Dow futures down 82. Pretty much the mirror image of what we were up yesterday. But at the end of the day, even though we were up way more earlier, it seemed like as the day wore on, the news about pushing the Chinese tariff off kind of got a little, I don't know, maybe a little old or something. We kept kind of creeping back down most of the day and finished barely above water. Matter of fact, I think the Russell might actually duck under a little bit. So this morning we're down a little bit, almost the same amount, not heavy. We've been up pretty heavy the whole way. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 30 points, 0.3%, so not much. FTSE down 75, 1%. They've got their Brexit problems, and they might be looking for an extension on the Brexit to leave. That's a tough issue for that lady. I mean, they got the vote, and everybody, all the people in charge, the ones who really didn't want to leave, or got the job of getting themselves out. So what their motivation is, I think it's a lot.
Well, she's facing trouble from both sides.
Right.
People want to stay and the people want to leave.
Well, because they're not leaving.
Yeah.
CAC down 12 points. That's 0.2%. Over in Asia, these guys have been up huge now because the Chinese situation is supposedly getting better and better. Chinese market has had a massive rally. They're all down a little bit today. Nikkei down 78.4%, but that's not very much. Shanghai down 19.7%. Remember, they were up 5.6% yesterday, so they're still over 2,900, 2,941. They're playing with 2,400 for a while, so they've come back an awful long way. Hang Seng down 187, 0.6%, 28,772. Those guys were at 25,000, as if you recall. Oil up 20 cents, it's 0.3%, 55.68. Rent up 61, 65.37. So the spread is $9 and call it 70 cents. Natural gas 2.86, up 2 cents. Still can't get near that $3 number. RBOB 1.55, up another penny. Yikes for the Suburban, Brendan. You've got your gas, much more gas efficient car. You don't worry about this stuff like I do. Of course, you buy your gas in the city, which, actually, no, you don't. You probably buy it in Michigan.
Sometimes in Michigan,
yeah.
Sometimes here. Well, you know, when the tank is slow and after driving over there, you need it to fill up get back.
Gold down 170, under 1330, unfortunately, for moi. 1327, still hanging in there pretty good. Silver down 5 cents, 1577, a lot higher than it was this time last year. Copper up another 0.3 cents. Again, this is a lot of people's,
you know, it's their pulse on the Chinese market, and it's up to 294. Over $3 is usually bullish on China. Again, that's a tough stretch, but a lot of people believe that way. Anybody got forest traffic, weather, sports? By the way, Caterpillar on a downgrade is down $5, 516. Home Depot on a miss is down 298. So that's the big movers in the Dow to the downside this morning. We got forest traffic, weather, sports.
Coming up on 38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues already to report. Eden's outbound just before Peterson. We have a crash blocking the right shoulder that's causing a bit of a slowdown as people head up toward the North Shore on the outbound Stevenson. Inbound side looks okay. Traffic building on the Kennedy, but no issues to report. Same with the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Southside expressways, no issues on the Dan Ryan, but we have a stalled semi on the Bishop Ford out inbound just before 130th Street. That's causing a bit of delays. I-57 and the Stevenson, as I mentioned, looking okay. Western suburbs out near Naperville, Reagan Memorial, I-88 inbound. Just before Eola Road, there is a crash that's causing stop-and-go traffic, so expect delays on I-88 heading inbound out near Naperville, Aurora area in the western suburbs. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, cloudy and cold, just like yesterday, although a few degrees warmer than yesterday, but still well below normal, as we'll reach a high of just 25. Could have some flurries, but not expecting much for accumulation. In the northern suburbs and up near the Wisconsin border, they could get 1 to 3 inches, but nothing like that in the city. Right now it's overcast and 20, going up to a high of 25. For our Phoenix listeners, beautiful day down in the Valley of the Sun. Partly cloudy skies, high of 72. Right now it's mostly clear and 42. In sports, Bulls had their three-game winning streak snapped at home to Milwaukee, 117-106. Suns beat the Heat, 124-121. College Buckets, it was Notre Dame losing at Florida State, 68-61. Chief.
You know, they lose every game, and every game they're like 3 out of 17 from three-point land. If somebody could put a couple in, they actually might win a game.
Or they could stop shooting so many
or
threes.
They could stop move
the ball inside a little bit.
Yeah, that would make. Joel, how are you?
Good morning, Chief. You guys have elections in Chicago today. Is it the still same mantra, vote early and vote often?
Well, there's a lot. One thing that isn't as much of a mantra is an awful lot of people who never were opposed are opposed. There's people running all over the place, younger people running for these alderman spots and everything. I don't think anybody thinks, you know, I haven't looked at the whole map, Brennan. How many people do you think are unopposed? There can't be too many.
No, I think there's probably 6 or 8 that are unopposed. Which is a lot less than has been in the case in the past. And in some of those, there's just token opposition.
In the mayor's race, we're thinking that if 18% of the vote gets you in the runoff, Joel, how's that for democracy?
Man, who's up for mayor?
Everybody. I'm surprised you're not running. 14 people running.
Including a Daley, Bill Daley.
Including what Daley, yeah. Allegedly, his brothers are very pissed at him for running. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, he could get caught up if Bill Daley gets into the runoff, there's going to be a lot of talk about Richie and the first Richard Daley.
Who, other than you and me, who remembers the first Richard Daley?
Oh, I think a lot of people remember the first Richard Daley.
And the city was doing fine when he was there for a lot of other reasons, but...
A lot of other reasons, the city was doing pretty well under Richie, too. For a long period of time, it was just covered up and pushed off into the future.
Rahm Emanuel, he's out, retiring. What's up with him?
He is not running for re-election. He did not stand for re-election.
I don't think we've heard.
He never said why.
Yeah, we never heard the last of him. I don't think we've heard the last of him.
Well, you guys got Chicago and the state of Illinois. You guys got a lot of issues, but. Hopefully you guys have a good, clean election and good outcome for the city of Chicago. You guys are growing by leaps and bounds, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's been our history in Chicago. Lots of good, clean elections.
Yeah. So, Rahm, maybe he'll take another swing through Wall Street where he made like $90 bazillion in 9 months or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. And before he takes another job in the next administration.
Yeah, who else is good at that? What's his name? Yeah, the Treasury guy, wasn't he good at that?
Who, Mnuchin?
He's been in and out, hasn't he?
Wasn't he at Goldman?
Yeah, well, those guys had to make your fortune at Goldman first. But Joel, your team, And the market, what's up? Your team wouldn't look so hot all of a sudden. Number one.
I'll say two things about that game. Number one, Charles Matthews is dinged up. He did get an early foul. They pulled him, but then he rolled an ankle. That's certainly not an excuse. Michigan State was purely the better team that day. Izzo just had a good offense. He was running the weave at the top of the key, getting Cassius Winston open. We really didn't have an answer with him with Xavier Simpson. We got another game. We got Maryland on the road. We got a game at Michigan State on the road. So we were hot early in the season with a little bit easier of a schedule, and now we're running into some of the big boys. So if Matthews is okay, it's time to regroup, but certainly not the outcome I wanted going to Chrysler Arena on Sunday. But we'll see, right? March Madness just around the corner, so you got to win in March and that first week in April.
By the way, is spring around the corner? The weather here, Maddie, our meteorologist has us in winter for another month or so.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it's freezing winds here. I mean, nothing like the winds in Chicago, but I don't see any hits of spring yet.
No. What about markets, bud? All kinds of stuff. What do you think? We got Cohen testimony. We've got Paul testimony.
A lot. I know. A little disappointed in the reaction to the market yesterday. I don't know how many times it could be deal or no deal on this, but he extends the deadline. And as you said on your update, that rally kind of fizzled yesterday. But, I mean, considering the momentum which the market's been going up, to have one little retreat, one little bad day is not a big deal. To me, it'd be interesting to see if we can get, shrug off yesterday's loss and pose a new closing high for the move. But things are getting extended up here, but you could have said that at a couple other levels, and the market just seems to be shrugging everything off. It took one bad thing out of the rearview mirror, and then another thing and another thing. So right now, a nice rally off the lows, and a little bit of weakness yesterday, but nothing to write home about.
I just think that we were, 3 weeks ago, I was so bullish down there, and now I'm just... I got my guys buttoned up tighter than a drum up here. I mean, I've got the puts at the money and everything. I just think that it's we're really pricey here. I mean, every time we get to this 2800, we go right back down. Or what we have?
It has. It's a big area that we hit in October and November and December here. So I mean, if depending on your investment horizon, if you sat through that December and you were fearing for your 401k or your long term savings, market's giving you a great opportunity here. I don't think the path up the new all-time highs is going to be as easy as it was the first time, because you have sellers up on this one. So that's what I'm looking here in the market. Earnings reports overall have been pretty good. A lot of retail numbers coming out this week, so we'll see what happens in the retail sector. Home Depot is not getting us off to a great start. Lowe's tomorrow, Macy's later today. So see if the retailers, I mean, we had that punk number for retail data in December, like a 9-year low.
Yeah.
And then Walmart comes out and reverses it. I'll just tell you, so far, if you're looking for a trend in earnings for the Walmart, it was kind of fade to pop. That pop didn't even last more than one day in Walmart.
Right. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
That's the futures down 475. NASDAQ down 20. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Money, money, money. Must be funny in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. So Brennan Cornan, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures down 4.25. Dow Futures down about 85, 84. NASDAQ futures down 19. Individual stock moving. We have some of that this morning. We've got Caterpillar down 551 on a downgrade. We've got Home Depot down 457 on an earnings miss. And we've got Tesla, because of what's-his-name's big mouth again, down $9. He did said something about production, which he's not supposed to do under his gag order, because he's not in charge of the place anymore, allegedly. And so then he was sanctioned by the SEC. Now he's pissed off at the SEC. And with us this morning again, if he was only a little older, he'd be the sage of Wall Street. As of now, he's just an expert, Mr. Kenny Polcari. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
See, you have to look forward to it. When you get to be like 70, you get to be a sage. Then,
yeah,
you know.
I have to look forward to it. It's unbelievable that Elon Musk just cannot keep his mouth shut. He can't stay off Twitter. And now he's got the audacity to be challenging the SEC now that they're trying to hold him in contempt of his deal. Right now he's taunting them to come and get him. So honestly, they should throw the book at him.
Well, you should have been here on break, because our man Brendan was just talking about, because he's we won't say how politically connected, but Brendan's been around the block, shall we say, Kenny, says that these people are not used to taking orders. Trump, Pritzker, our new governor, Rauner, our former governor, and Elon Musk, they're not used to taking orders from anybody, and they can't stop.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to find out what happens, but one way or the other, the stock is, like you said, the stock is kind of under pressure this morning, along with those couple of other moves, right? Home Depot and that miss. I think that was a little bit of a surprise to the street, certainly, yeah. as the stock reacts, right?
Kenny, where do you land in this big debate? Well, I mean, it's not a huge debate, but this retail sales number, clunker. Walmart came out and it seemed, apparently kind of debunked the number. It was such a bad number that half the people seem to think it's probably just a bad number. I mean, somehow they screwed up.
I think it's a bad number because I think it flies in the face of everything we discussed and talked about and heard all during the Christmas and the holiday season, how it was a blowout year and more money spent than in the last 6 years. And I mean, they kept going on and on and on. And then the government comes out and said, you know, it was this horrible number. And so there was a disconnect there. And then you saw as Walmart came out and surprised to the upside and Costco. So I think it's just a bad number, quite honestly. I just think there's a disconnect there.
What about the Home Depot? What about the Home Depot number? I mean,
I just saw the headline. I didn't get a chance to read the story yet. What did Home Depot why did they miss, or why did they say they missed?
Earnings miss, retailer sees 2019 sales slowing.
That's interesting because, you know, I would argue that housing being what it is, that people are going to spend more money on renovating or fixing up what they got versus going out and buying new. So I think it's cautious that they say that. I'm not necessarily sure that I'm going to buy it. I mean, that's the guidance going out, right, for 2019.
Yeah.
Listen, they can say what they want, and clearly they did, and they're being cautious. I think they're being overly cautious because I actually think that people are going to renovate what they got versus buying new.
That part I agree with you. It's weird, Kenny, because I was anxious to have you on this morning, and because you have your finger kind of on the pulse of the New York thing.
I just see what's happening in and around where I live, right? I live in the suburbs of New York up in Westchester County, and the housing market up here is not good. It's kind of regional, but anything below $1 million seems to be trading, but those are smaller, kind of what you would consider, you know, in New York, almost starter homes. And anything between $1 million and $2 million is really stuck, not going anywhere. It's just sitting on the market, and so people are pulling the houses off and deciding just to renovate and or fix them up and stay put for a little bit.
Well, I cannot put my finger, since I've not been ranting on this too much, Kenny, but an awful lot of things, the numbers that I see and the people that I talk to with and ask questions that, for the show, really, I'm seeing some kind of a slowdown here, and I don't know why. And I wonder if the Home Depot things has to do with this. I think a lot of people pour their tax refund into their remodeling. And the fact that everybody seems to be, I'm not going to make a political statement and say it was done on purpose, but a lot of people seem to have miscalculated somehow what they were paying, and people that are used to getting the refund
right,
have not gotten it. So somehow people miscalculated, either on purpose or not, that people did it to them, what their taxes were going to be this year. So,
well, I think you're right, and I think that story, you're seeing it almost daily on the news when
yes,
they're making, you know, the news outlets are making, you know, story almost every day, or at least it feels like it around here, where exactly that story, that people have miscalculated, they didn't withhold enough, they're getting hit with a tax bill versus a tax refund, and so they're finding themselves in very uncomfortable positions. And so, you know, I don't think we've heard the last of this yet. April 15th is still 2 months away, and I think the story's going to get more dire as we move, as people realize, certainly in the high tax state, place like New York. I mean, my taxes are going to go up, even though the rate's gone down. They eliminated all the big deductions that we had to support the socialized economy that we have in New York. And so, you know, my taxes are going up, as are a lot of the people that I know in New York. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And that may play into a part of Home Depot's cautious guidance.
I think so. I think it is.
But to your point, I think people are going to renovate. And to my point, I think people are going to decide, instead of moving, they're going to renovate what they got and they're going to live with it.
I would agree. What I've seen, some of these numbers, I don't really watch that much, Kenny. But stuff like the Philly Fed, supposed to be +4, comes in at like -11.
I mean, yeah, that was a big miss.
I mean, somehow or another, in pockets now, there seems to be this kind of wall that we're hitting.
Right.
I cannot put my finger on why at all. I mean,
No, and I can't put my finger on why either. To me, it seems that some of those, again, there's a disconnect, because then you look at other reports. You know, those Philly Fed surveys are regional, right? So they talk about what's happening in that part of the country.
Well, the Empire States, New York Fed, yeah.
New York and the Northeast and Philly and Richmond and Dallas. They talk about what's going on in those parts of the country. But when you look at the broader picture, you know, when you look at government reports that kind of talk broadly, or the Fed Beige Book, you know, they come up with a different kind of scenario. So it is interesting to see the disconnect, but I still feel like the economy's okay. I don't feel like that the economy's, you know, spiraling into a recession or that, you know, times are getting bad. I'm just confused on where they're, why there's such a disconnect in the numbers.
Well, I'm seeing what's happening, and again, can I admit this to this every week to you and everybody else? I'm poisoned by the Illinois situation and the Chicago situation. But I will tell you this, that when some place is broke, for you to, not you personally, but for the universal you, for you to walk through your day and think somehow really ignorantly that it's not going to affect you at some point, boy, you know, I got a bridge for you. You know, I mean, because we're seeing that here.
And that's the same in New York. Look, New York may not be broke, but I'll tell you what's going on in New York in terms of, you know, the loss of tax revenue due to this new tax, due to the new tax deal. They're seeing very wealthy people in New York flee the state, right? They're moving south. They're going to Florida. They're going to lower tax states. I mean, Cuomo went to D.C. last week to have this argument with Trump about how this Tax Reform Act destroyed states like New York and California, all the high tax states. And, I think that's going to be when reality.
Well, Trump.
Fit,
well, Trump
right?
thinks
when,
it's
when people recognize it.
Trump thinks it's a game, you know, and it's not. Well, it's not just a political game.
No.
But where I'm going with this, Kenny, is in this. I want you to be the first to come out here and make me buy you a drink because I was wrong. But I read yesterday within the next 18 months, or maybe right after the next election, we're going to have a serious tax increase. It's going to be Social Security, what they're already working on. It's going to be a massive gas tax increase. And some kind of an unemployment tax increase, and it's going to be just like 1982 all over again. Because the numbers are abysmal. I mean, I don't know if you listened to Carl Denninger last week. He says, you look at the first 3 months of this year on the federal budget. He goes, the guy who foolishly believes that that the lowered tax thing is going to cause all this growth. You look at those numbers, you're horrified.
Right.
I mean, I hope he's wrong, but that it's just a 3 month phenomenon, but.
Well, I hope he's wrong, but I do get the sense that is going to happen, especially if, you know, in after the next election, if Trump is out and the Democrats get in, I think you're absolutely set up for a massive kind of tax overhaul once again, and that tax overhaul is going to be a big tax increase.
It's going to be regressive, just like the last time.
Yeah.
Kenny, take care of yourself. Hey, Nick, we're looking forward to you next week, and hopefully we'll talk about more rallies. We'll see. SP Futures down 475, Dow Futures down 86. Again, a few stocks in the Dow down. Two stocks in the Dow down. Caterpillar and Home Depot. Tesla's not in the Dow. NASDAQ Futures down 21. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi. This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. This is Brennan Cornan in the studio. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 5.25. NASDAQ futures down 22. We're talking a little bit today, obviously, about the market and a little bit of sports. Not much today. Although if the Bulls win a couple more games, they're going to trade somebody. They got to lose, Manny, right? Just every time I say, hear
I think the trade deadline passed, didn't it?
Yeah, it's
gone. No, they can cut
gone.
People. They can just cut them.
Because they made a big trade. And the question is, was the trade for Porter really to make the team better, or was it to try to lose more games? Because he's brought improvement to the team.
Well, it was obviously to make the team better because they're paying him a bunch of money, and they are better after the trade, which made no sense to me.
Like, I agree with what they were doing
before
then.
You've already committed to losing for this particular season. Like, why not finish it out?
Well, Bobby, he just scored.
The worst thing they're doing now is winning. I don't understand why they're doing it. There's no difference between finishing fourth from last and last overall, except for hurting your draft.
Mm-hmm.
Except the coach has a feeling who they just extended, right? He has a feeling that you can't act like that and all of a sudden turn it on next year. You have to develop habits and play in a certain way, especially when you've got young people like Devine and Levine and the other guy.
I completely agree with that. I'm talking about adding more talent. You can still have the guys that you have, you know, playing hard and trying to win and doing things correctly and just not being talented enough to do it.
Just always losing.
Like the Cubs did in their rebuild. It's not like the guys weren't trying. They just traded all their good guys. And they weren't adding guys to be better at the end, so to hurt their draft situation when it was already a losing season. That just doesn't make sense.
Well, they've added a couple guys that weren't supposed to be good, and all of a sudden they are, which is not, you don't want that.
So, you know, I do think that the Bulls have a nice young core. I just don't think that they have the coaching or the front office in place to do anything with it.
Well, the coaching is somebody new. I mean, Boylan is, and he's got a completely different philosophy than Hoiberg had.
It was very similar to Tibbs.
The managers, both Paxson and Foreman, are entrenched, and they're pretty entrenched with Reinsdorf.
Well, that's clear.
Because like the guys on
it's
the
very
side.
Rare that you can have a job where you suck every year and you just all you do is just keep getting raises.
What do you mean,
extensions.
Kenny Williams?
They won a World Series. The Bulls haven't even sniffed championship.
Okay, but they...
I'm just saying, that buys you some time.
They also got the best lease in the world. They still make money.
Yes.
Well, that helps, too.
Yeah. Every time you buy a sandwich downtown, you're paying for their stadium.
But mm-hmm. Reinsdorf makes all his money with the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
He makes his money a lot of places.
Well, yeah, I know, but the Bulls were like has been his cash cow for 30 years. And the White Sox, I think he maybe breaks even on it.
I think he makes money.
I'm sure he makes money, but he's not like he does with the Bulls.
No, mm-hmm. I don't disagree. Brendan, you started last week, as we've had all kinds of debate about the AOC and the Amazon thing and so forth. The first one of these I ever heard of was the, you know, because I'm not as into this as you are, was Sears leaving here and going out to wherever the hell they went, Hoffman Estates,
yeah.
And getting this huge deal, and of course now Hoffman Estates is suing them to get the money mm-hmm. back. But you alluded that this actually went back, you know, many decades. Could you give us a little bit of a history of this whole thing? Because I would find it fascinating. I think our listeners would too. So we actually want to know what we're talking about when we say something which puts us a part of most of society today.
Right. When you're looking right now at municipalities offering incentives to bring business into an area, the historic relevance of this goes back to the 1950s. At that time, you know, mostly manufacturing industrial areas were up in the north, and the south couldn't compete. The southern states couldn't compete. So places like Mississippi would offer incentives to corporations to entice them to come down, and then the tax law was changed so they could do that on a tax-exempt basis. There was a type of financing called industrial development bonds or industrial revenue bonds, where the municipality would issue bonds, lend it to a private corporation, and the private corporation would build their plant facilities and use it for capital costs.
It's the same thing that they still use that for, like, it's how Yankee Stadium was built, and that's how Sox Park was built, right?
Slightly different, but overall, for purpose of this discussion, yes. We'll just say that it's similar. And then, of course, the southern states started to entice these corporations down to operate manufacturing facilities. But one difference, that in the southern states, no unions. In the northern states, was heavy unionized. So the union members up north started to get upset about this. The northern states started to get upset about this. So then they started doing the same thing, offering the same types of incentives.
Can I back you up here? Other than giving people a loan that ended up costing the state less than maybe it should have, because it was an industrial, the purposes were for an industry or a ball team,
mm-hmm.
So your rate would be 4% instead of, you know, 8 back in the day, or 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
Were there incentives like you don't have to pay any taxes? Or
there were some of those in southern states that were called pilots, payments in lieu of taxes, which would be a reduction of the property taxes that were made to the municipalities or to the states to entice the government. It was a property tax break for a certain number of years that was in conjunction with the industrial development bond financing. So together they were a good enticement for corporations to uproot their plant from southern Wisconsin and move it down to southern Mississippi. Plus labor costs were cheaper if they could find labor for these facilities.
Well, if you could find skilled labor.
Yeah, but eventually they were able to, but there was still the enticement. So the northern states started to combat by doing the same things. They said, well, if Mississippi can offer incentives like this, why can't we in Michigan offer the same type of incentives? And then it grew from there, so that now it's kind of expected that a corporation, especially a sizable corporation, will go to New York, will go to Chicago, will go to Detroit and say, what can you offer me in the way of bringing my business in? What can you do to reduce my tax burden for coming into this area? It's really become expected now, and now you see the enticement from different areas, like you saw with Sears going out to Hoffman Estates, where, you know, the village of Hoffman Estates offered incentives that the city of Chicago couldn't or wouldn't match, and this cannibalization hurts everybody. Oftentimes, when after a couple of years, it was seen that the deal really was not that good of a deal for the municipality, because you know, the idea was that a company XYZ moving out would hire more people in the area, and that would be good for overall growth because the income taxes from the workers would eventually outweigh the benefits that were given to the company. But that didn't pan out.
But the people making these calculations. And again, I know I'm a numbers snob a little bit, But the people doing these calculations, I wouldn't hire as my clerk.
That may be, but the you know when you look at the argument in the beginning that was sold, that XYZ company coming in here will generate more money than what we're giving them in incentives over the long term. That was the argument. The other nice thing about that argument from their perspective is that it's going to take 5, 10, 15 years to see if those numbers really play out. Were the projections based on solid evidence?
I'm going to say no,
or were they pie in the sky?
You know after 2 years.
Maybe you do, but still, that's 2 years down the road, and if it's a booming economy in 2 years down the road, then those numbers look better. If you're in a bad economy, those numbers are going to look a lot worse.
Did you ever do any studies? I'm sure, I have no reason why you would have, why you would ever want to. You ever do any studies with manufacturing engineering and like learning curves and so forth?
No, I haven't.
At Pullman, when you started, when you had a labor estimate on a car, you should be, if you're not down to your average on the fifth car, if you got an 80% learning curve, if you're not down, if that's not down, in other words, if you think it's going to be 2,000 hours a car, if you're not down to 2,000 hours by the fifth car, whatever you are in the fifth car, that's going to be your average.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd never catch up. So mm-hmm. In other words, if you've screwed this by year two.
You mean you can't make that up on volume?
Cannot make it up on the volume. So what was the old story, the old South Side, the nationality, Mitty, with the, we won't throw an ethnic, throw your favorite ethnic person, you know, like the X's and the Christmas trees, where they went and had a truck and bought the Christmas trees for $5 and came and sold them for $4. And the one guy said, that's okay, next time we'll bring two trucks, you know. Or the joke. So yeah, if you're not where you're going to be after a year or two, Brendan, you're never going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that if you look at the phenomenon, well, I don't know how we got on this subject. There is a study someplace that I remember reading. I don't know if it's even available anymore. And if I knew the day, I'd probably get it in the newspaper. But it had to do with when we've seen Sears basically rocket down to demise,
mm-hmm.
And we went from a place. That was the first company in the world to realize that people needed to shop from home, can't always make it to the store.
Mm-hmm.
Duh, read Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Or eBay or someplace. And they managed to screw that pooch like there's no tomorrow. And so, but if you can take this, the Sears, compound used to be Amazon. Cicero?
Holman.
They had the huge place.
Holman, you're talking about the Sears?
Off the west side. Yeah,
Holman Square. Over on Holman.
Okay.
Just west of Kedzie.
Right, it was west of Kedzie. Like Chicago Avenue or somewhere?
Further south around Harrison, I think.
Okay, so they were in the hood, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the people who came and worked there, essentially, were people who put out catalogs for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Sears was very, when they moved downtown, they were able to transport most of those people because you could hop right on the green line or whatever line it is. And all those people could get downtown, you know, an hour or two something a ride, but basically when they did it, you could get downtown and you get home and back for $2.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you didn't need a car, you didn't need anything. But so they moved them into the Sears Tower downtown and you still were able to bring a lot of that connection from essentially the people doing the buying were the people who were buying for themselves essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So when they moved to Hoffman Estates, none of those people, I won't say none, all of a sudden now you got to move way. How far is Hoffman Estates, Manny? 65 miles? 60 miles? It's out there.
It's not that far.
I'll take the over on 50.
I'll take the under.
Okay, well, check it out.
Like a pizza.
Or it's right around 50.
Yeah, but in other words, you're not going from Holman and Kedzie out there. You can't get there from here.
We were right in the middle. You said 67. Or 65, and I said 50, it's 57.
Okay, so it's a ways.
It's a ways.
So you're talking about a whole new class of workers. You basically said we're not bringing anybody with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, which is really foolish for a company.
Sorry, I looked at that wrong. It's 57 minutes right now. It's 34.8 miles.
34.8?
That's what I thought.
Okay. Right, so
but still, it's a ways up.
It's a ways. So you're not bringing the person from Holman who could take the all downtown is not moving out there, especially if they're 55 years old. Right, and maybe that was the reason for moving out there. So out they go. And in other words, this person choreographs the failure of the company, would essentially lose in touch with their clientele. And that really, you know, and Eddie Lambert just made that more and more. Now we're a real estate company.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they also went down the road of financial services back in the 90s when they started buying a lot of financial services and real estate.
But Coldwell Banker, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they sold, just plain sold them out again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how, yeah. But how you end up closing up the most successful catalog company in the history of the world, then figured it's a mistake, instead of just opening it up again, then you buy Land's End, then you sort of screw that up. Although when they sold them, they did make money on that, I think. But I don't think Land's End did that well when they were under Sears' umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
let's go back for a minute to what we were talking about before with the incentives, with different municipalities enticing companies like Amazon or Sears to different places. You know, that's the same mentality that psychologists have seen in an auction. If you have an auction and oftentimes there'll be seeds planted in the auction to start a bidding war between people, because people then get emotional, just like municipalities get emotional, that if they have a set limit for a company that they will allow $500,000 of incentives, and they hear that the town 2 miles away is going to offer $501,000,
right,
they'll start bidding up a little bit to the point where the numbers won't work. It can never work. But yet they've got the right to say, well, we won. We got XYZ company to come to our town and you didn't. Same type of
mentality. Well, you don't want to be the mayor to lose the Bears.
That's right.
Even though it may be the perfectly sensible thing to do.
Yes. At a certain point, it did not make sense. At some number, it did not make sense to keep the White Sox in town or the Bears in Chicago at Soldier Field or the Cubs in Wrigley, as opposed to going out a couple of years ago, as you know they were threatening to do. There comes a point where those numbers don't work in favor of the city.
But here's what I'm trying to get to, and I know the number. How is it when you cross over, Brandon? I don't know if there always should be somebody telling you what to do, but there needs to be hard lines. You know, your hand stops when it comes next to the guy next to his cheeseburger. You know, it's his cheeseburger, not yours. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we have to learn to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is it? And I'll use the example of the selling the parking meters or selling the Skyway or selling Millennial Park Garage. I don't really care, and I don't know that you really need to police, Brandon, somebody selling an asset for a price they think is way too high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know that you need to go there. But now, from a state level or from Big Brother level, and I don't like, you know, government telling people what to do, you can't, when you give money to Notre Dame, you can give money, or University of Chicago, more if you're in Chicago, they've done this forever, you can give money and say, I'm going to endow, or you're going to endow the Brendan Cornan endowed professorship. They don't get to touch that money. They don't get to take it into every day. If all of a sudden you have a sexual harassment case, you don't get to pull it out of your endowment and send it out. That's segregated. How is it the state doesn't have a law? And again, I don't want to go there. There ought to be a law. How is it that if Mayor Daley sells a Skyway for $30 billion, it doesn't go into a bank account and he gets to use the interest, just like all the coming mayors will get to use the interest? It becomes almost an endowment of assets.
No. There are some rules to where those monies can go. There are rules, but, I mean, those can be changed by the legislation. When the ordinance was passed, they allow monies to be used for certain purposes. Now, oddly, the argument you're making right now is the same argument that we're seeing in Washington, D.C. with the wall and this national emergency. This is the heart of the discussion between the Democrats and Republicans with the overreach of presidential power right now, because Congress under the Constitution has the right to appropriate monies. Trump is saying, I have the right to declare a national emergency and move from monies from pot A to pot B without any discretion or without any input from you. And Congress is saying, no, you don't. We've already said you cannot use this money for your wall. You can only use this money for certain purposes, regardless of whether there's a national emergency or not. The same thing is true with your example of the parking meters or the tollway funds, that those monies are supposed to be used for certain purposes. And how widely permissible those uses are depends on what's in the authorizing statutes, whether it's an ordinance or a state statute.
Well, I guess where I'm going with this is I honestly don't care. And I think it's actually prudent that if you were to bring, you and Maddie were to bring, you know, a whatever, an internet company, and you drop it on, on 43rd Street along the lakefront on the south side and say, you know, we really could use a L stop here at 43rd, where maybe there was one 100 years ago. I'll follow myself to get it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need a bus line coming to your place. But the part about, how about the taxes we pay go to ourselves? Even Caesar, I don't think, had the power where if somebody walks in and says, I'll vote for you, fine, you don't have to pay next year's income tax. You don't want to give anybody that power, that all of a sudden you can unshare the tax burden. What if you gave Trump, man, I think is pretty much amoral. What if you gave him that power, that if Wilbur Ross is going to work for him, okay, don't pay your income taxes this year?
Well, he thinks he has that power.
Right, I'm just saying it's not about him. But I mean, my line is when it comes to you're not paying taxes for 15 years, hey, screw that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you your station like I would anybody else. You know, by the way, everybody else can get off there, not just your people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you your bus line. I'll move the transformer down the block if I have to so you can use that. I'm willing to go all these places. I'm just not willing to go the tax piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's
part of the negotiations between the municipality, and it's also what needs to be done with the separations of power.
What I'm saying,
checks and balances on our system.
I'm having trouble articulating this. What I'm saying is there's a spot where no mayor should be able to go to keep this mm-hmm. fair. I mean, I don't want the Google people, just like the Caterpillar people, paying their state income tax and having to go to Caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't get to do that at PTI.
I agree with you.
But I mean, this is not, if you let people in the political realm, if you let Rahm just trying to make a name for himself or the guy in New York, they'll go anywhere. They don't care. They're out of here in 2 years.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's a
big problem across the country, both at the local, the state, and the federal level, that people make decisions knowing that the price will be paid, the check will be delivered when they're long gone from office. Somebody else's problem.
And I guess what I'm saying is I'm looking for a Solomon to say, hey, look, you can sell whatever you want. You don't have to use it in your budget this year and say it's balanced when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is what Daley did, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm just saying that that's a line I think you can't cross.
Well, you know, in the parking meter deal, that would not be seen as such a bad deal if we still had money now that we could use for a rainy day fund. The big problem there was, and people say it was undervalued for two reasons. One, it was undervalued because all the proceeds were spent within 3 years instead of 70 years.
Yeah.
And the fact that the company is making a lot more money now and project to make a lot more money because they have the ability to continue to raise rates.
Well, I mean, I know when we were on the air, Dr. J and I, and again, it's, you know, numbers are my life. If you ask me to draw a stick man, and he's going to look like a big fatso. I mean, I'm that bad at arts and stuff, which I'm very jealous of, by the way. So, Dr. J says to me, well, why don't you think the Millennium Park is too cheap? I said, John, how many spots are in there? So he rattles off a number. I said, how many times a day? What's the turnover a day? And he gives me the turnover. And I said, okay, what's the price? I said, what's the interest rate? I go, here's what it's worth. It's worth three times what they paid for it. He goes, how the hell can you do that? I said, Jan, how can the person negotiating the deal not do that? That's basic second-year mm-hmm. finance, for God's sake. I mean, you can do that in the back of an envelope, Brendan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not difficult. And yet they come out with a number that's nowhere near what you and I would come out with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a giveaway. I mean, it's an absolute... I mean, if it was a fair price, I guess I wouldn't care. But it isn't.
Mm-hmm. I'm not arguing with that. I can't argue with that.
Well, you know, if the former mayor and I, we used to work out, he was a member of the Buckingham Club, we're in the sauna together, believe it or not. Clothes, I mean, not naked, but with towels on. And he says to me, how come everybody's bitching about me selling the Millennium Park? And I said, well, Mayor, people are concerned about the cost. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, I know you're in the finance business. I go, he goes, we got a good price for it. As a mayor, let's not talk about Millennium Park. Let's talk about the Indiana Toll Road. They sold the thing for $1.5 billion. He goes, yeah, well, they were losing money. Mayor, the thing is, we're talking about, what is it, 150 miles? How long is the Indiana Toll Road, man? 150 miles. It's got to be, what, a half a mile wide, right? The footprint. And it's improved with bridges and roadway. And I said, Mayor, $1.5 billion, you want to build it today, you wouldn't get the Wolf Lake. And when you're talking, that thing's got to be worth, what do you think it would cost to put the Indiana Toll Road in place today?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you can't sell that for $1.5 billion to somebody. I mean, people look at that and they go, they're crazy. And he goes, well, I don't, you know, they weren't making it. Just raise the rates. I mean, pay the people less. Get some private company there's nothing that says that when people talk about, like running the toll road. There's nothing that says that you can't go out and say, we want this many people to run the toll road, this is the, and go out for auction and have four or five firms say, we can provide this service for X number of dollars a day. Somebody else comes in with that. There's nothing that says that you have to sell something to have the private sector run it.
Mm-hmm.
You can auction off the management of it.
Yeah.
And every 2 years, do it again. But instead, no, that's got to be a politically connected thing. Only the right guys can make the bid. And you pay them three and four times more than you're even paying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything has got to be crooked around here. But there are places that actually do this, Brendan. You actually can go out for auction and get a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's so, but I mean, my line is I don't want to be paying people paying taxes to themselves when I'm mm-hmm. paying them. Because it doesn't always seem like the people who get these benefits are nobody we know.
Well, we know because we've heard about the
guy. Know, or we may have met him at a time or a place, but that's about the end of it. I mean, it's, you know, I don't really know her name when I mentioned the story, but I was dating a girl at Allied Van Lines, my first job. Irish girl. Imagine that. My father was a judge. All of a sudden, one day, the headline in the Tribune was, as I walk in and somebody hands me the paper, because we're both still working there, it was her dad was all over the paper as being a silent partner in Canteen Corp. remember those guys?
Yes.
They were the Canteen Corp, with all this stuff about restaurants in the O'Hare and Midway.
Mm-hmm.
They were the original place that had all the restaurants in O'Hare, right? They were the original guys. And he was a silent partner in Daly's law firm before he became a judge and everything. So he was very connected out of Bridgeport. And then Roseland, of all places. And she was all upset that her dad's name was all over the paper. Of course, she knew nothing about this,
mm-hmm.
right? But she thought he was just a judge.
Yeah.
There was more to him than met the eye. And it's not like this doesn't go back to whenever. I mean, plus, in those days, the food was horrible at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they didn't have, like, the McDonald's and the other stuff they have in there. But even now.
All that good health food.
Well, yeah. But even now, if you have a, if you and I and Maddie put together, you know, whatever, Stocks and Jacks hot dog stand, and they want that in the airport, they're going to want us to set it up, but we don't own it.
Mm-hmm.
The right guys.
Or manage it.
Or manage it. The right guy. We probably have a consulting agreement to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure the hot dogs are done properly.
It effectively becomes a franchise with our name on it.
Right. And because the right people are still going to own it.
I mean, mm-hmm.
it's not as bad as when Canteen Corp was in there. That was, mm-hmm. that was 40 years ago. S&P futures still down 475. We've been right about here. NASDAQ futures down 22. You got big movers. Caterpillar down 506. Home Depot down 598. Now they're keeping going down. And Tesla's down $9 because of what's his name's big mouth. We'll talk a little more about that. Come back with Mr. John Neal.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so.
I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howard. Mr. Brendan Cornan. We'll have Mr. John Neal in a second. Matt Weber on the board. We're leaking a little bit here. Not bad. Down 6.25. NASDAQ down 28 as the housing starts came out. Down 11.2% versus 1% expected. Yet another one of these numbers that everybody, they're so bad, like the retail numbers, that people think they're outliers. But I don't know. There's starting to be a few of them in a row. I think this tax thing is a problem with some of the, I really do. People, I think, overspent based on what they thought they were getting, and now they're kind of a little bit of a bind, but let's hope that is not the case. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down 30.3%, FTSE down 75, that's a whole percent, CAC around down 12.2%. Over in Asia, a little bit of a bounce back because they've been up so strong. Nikkei down 78.4%, that's only a hair in the behind of an elephant with how much that's been up almost every day. Shanghai was up 5.6% yesterday, now it's down 0.7 today at 19 points. Hang Seng down 187.6%. Again, these are very small comeback compared to how well they were doing the last couple days. The enthusiasm over there on his deal is really, it's like it has been here, only like double it. Oil up 20 cents here, Brent up 61 cents, and that spread is now back out to $9 and, I'm gonna say 60 cents, so back up's almost pushing its way back to 10. Natural gas up a nickel to 288. RBOB, we're starting to see a little bit of a push here, Matty. Remember in, November when it got so cold, I would ran up to 450. Came yep. Flying back down, but now the extent of this winter, I wouldn't be surprised if this thing doesn't top $3 again. RBOB $1.56, which you've seen if you've got to get gas lately. And we've got gold coming back just a hair this morning, $1.70. Still 13.27. Silver down 5 cents. What do you got for us? Traffic weather. By the way, if you have Tesla shares, SEC has asked the judge to hold Musk in contempt because he came out with some numbers which he's not supposed to do, and now he's basically pissed off at the SEC, which imagine that. What do you got for us? Traffic weather sports.
I don't have Tesla shares, but my gas bill was $220 last month, so that's not a great month. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We had some earlier crashes this morning that have mostly been cleared, but they've been replaced by some new ones. Inbound Kennedy at Peterson Avenue, we have an accident blocking the right lane. And then we had an earlier crash on the outbound Edens just before Devon Avenue. That's been cleared now, but some resulting congestion from that. Kennedy and Edens both significant traffic volumes as we've had a few crashes on those expressways earlier this morning. I-290 Eisenhower looks okay. Same with the Stevenson. Dan Ryan is looking good. That earlier crash on the Bishop Ford is all clear. I-57 is looking good as well. We also had a crash out on I-88 in between Aurora and Naperville. That's cleared. We have a crash near that area, Route 59 northbound at Batavia Road. That's causing some delays, but that's the only other big concern in the area. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, another cloudy, cold day. Could have some flurries, but not expecting much for accumulation except for to the north of us in the Wisconsin border around there. But in the city, we're just going to be cold and windy with wind chills in the single digits going up to a high of 25. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 72 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 43. In sports, Bulls' three-game winning streak is over. They lost at home to Milwaukee last night, 117-106. Suns topped the Heat, 124-121. College hoops, Notre Dame continues to struggle. They lost at Florida State last night, 68-61. Chief.
I'm going to say right now that opening day is in danger.
Of weather?
Yeah.
That's very possible.
Because as far as you can see, for 2 weeks, it basically sucks. So I'm saying, might as well extend that another 2 weeks. It's opening day.
Mm-hmm. Well, things can change.
Yes. In Chicago, things can change. But last year was what was the year that, was it last year that everybody got colded out or the entire series up in Minnesota, the Sox were
in the Sox? Yeah, wasn't it like the first five games were in jeopardy or didn't happen?
It was not great at the beginning of last season, but it seems like it's that way every year.
Mm-hmm. Last year was, they had more postponements in the first 10 games in the history of baseball, I think, last year. I think it was not even close. John Neal, how are you?
Good, good. Good morning. Yourself?
I'm fine. And by the way, are we trying to get some of the wall contracts down there and come in with, like, we'll act like we're right-wingers and we'll get some super contract and make a bunch of dough?
Hey, you know, you get the bricks, I'll get the cement.
See? It's mortar, John. Mortar, not cement. You know, just saying.
Oh, okay. You're right.
Doesn't matter what we can use.
You
whatever
don't
we
need
want.
To know as long as you got the goods.
Yeah, we don't care. We can use whatever we want. Nobody's gonna inspect it out there in the desert. So maybe we should be the inspector.
Oh, right, like I think we've talked about this before. What's ludicrous because I've spent it's down by Tombstone, and most people don't know that, but that's pretty close to the border. Sierra Vista is down there.
Mm-hmm.
If you spend any time down there, it's a very mountainous area, which people kind of. Kind of scratch their heads to that, but it's very mountainous, so I'm not sure how you would build a wall up and over and or through or whatever a mountain. So.
Well, isn't there one stretch where it's desert where it's, that they are talking about is one of the spots they need to build one? Don't you have one spot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's basically the part that would be kind of on the western side, if you will, and that's all, relatively flat or flatter than the other region, but my only point is that there's so much there's large swaths of that terrain that are not conducive to building a structure. I'll put it to you that way.
Well, and you're the border by yours. I think I know the answer to this, but I have a little bit of geography, but very little. Your western area there's no river there. There's basically a line in the sand that's the border, correct?
Right.
Over by Yuma.
Yeah, over by the California side.
That's also where the Goldwater range is, and what that is, that's a bombing range. And that's also one of the dangers, for these people that are coming across, is it's a bombing range for Luke and Davis Monson and all that.
Still, or are we talking about bombs that are unexploded?
No, I mean, it's still used for practice.
So you're running across a bombing range. That's special.
So, and that's where, that was, one, in addition to the elements, these people, coming across and not having water, things like that, being out in the desert, it is an active training range.
So there's no place where you would say there's the border. I mean, it's just a big, long desert, and part of it's ours and part of it's theirs.
Yeah, in those areas, exactly.
Because everybody assumes, when you talk about the border of Mexico, that the Rio Grande runs across the whole thing. It doesn't. It goes about, a third of the way or halfway?
Right. And that's exactly correct. Then you get down to, where, some of the cities are, and they already have these, fences and walls and, combination of the two. And you go down to parts like Douglas, and, you're driving on the road, and to your right there, that's what you see is a ugly cement wall, fence, and, you know, things like that.
Well, what when Audrey was down in one of her friends has this, I don't know, what do you want to call it? It's like a timeshare, Brandon, but you don't own anything. You're just part of a club.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to use this place. It makes a lot more sense because you don't actually own anything. They went to, was it Padre Island? South Padre Island?
South Padre Island.
Which is
off
right,
Texas. Right off Brownsville. Texas.
Yeah, they went in like April. And says they're driving back and they're like 80 miles inland. And all of a sudden you get this big border checkpoint. Evidently, the you know, like you said, there's such a desert thing there that if you make it across, by the time you make it to a highway and trying to get anywhere, essentially the checkpoint is quite a ways into the U.S. And that's where they stop all the vehicles. So even if you brought them across the desert somehow, you've got to make it to this spot to get further north. I mean, I don't know the geography of it, but the checkpoint's actually well into the U.S., which is, I didn't know we had any of those, but evidently. Well, I was in California. There was a, if you drive from Vegas to L.A., there's checkpoints there for agriculture, even though you would think you're nowhere near the border. But evidently, there's roads that you can come up that there is no border checkpoint. Before you get to L.A., they're going to go over all the agriculture you have, making sure you don't have any of the wrong kind of flies or fleas or whatever. It's something that the whole world thinks they understand through tweets. But I think, I don't know, that's why I love to have you on and talk about it, Jack. This whole area, I don't know anything about it. But yet, I guess in today's world, I'm supposed to form an opinion and be on one side or the other, right? I mean, even though I don't know anything. It's just It's just the way we are these days.
That's true. That's true. And then the other thing with that too, that's kind of interesting. Wasn't too long ago, I was down in Tombstone, and they have a whole cave system down. You know, went a little vacation, went down there, and they have the Border Patrol patrols on as a road because east west. I mean, it's a dirt road, but it's, you know, quite pronounced, and it's kind of marked.
So the road's essentially the border. The road.
Well, the problem is, what was interesting is it's about 20 miles north of the border.
Oh, okay.
It's their east-west thing that they're constantly patrolling. So that's 20 miles north. So I don't know the how and the why of that, you know.
Well, does anybody own that property, or is it just all government land?
I think there's some probably
government land.
There.
There's
mostly
nothing,
government.
It's just scrub and stuff like that. You know, there's really nothing there.
Well, what percentage, just for the listeners that aren't from Arizona, I seem to recall when we had our big clients down there, and I used to get on there a lot, 90-95% of the state of Arizona is either government-owned or Indian reservation? Is it that high, or is it lower now?
I think that's probably relatively accurate because really, like, especially in the northeast of Arizona, the things like the Petrified Forest, Monument Valley, all of that between, you know, there's little bits, you know, that are the parks that are government land. But if you, like, look on a map and the sovereign land, I think it's Navajo and Hopi up there, it's a huge, huge portion of the northeast, you know, part of Arizona.
Yeah, that Four Corners area is all Indian reservation.
So if you want to go into Monument Valley, you have to essentially go through the reservation and get a tour from them, correct?
I think, I don't know if, because I was up there not that long ago, and to me it's definitely a national park, so I don't know what kind of arrangement, you know, they have, but I do believe that's part of their sovereign land. But it is a natural park. So they have obviously some kind of deal there. And then same with Grand Canyon. There's down in the bottom of the Grand Canyon, I forget the name of the particular tribe, but that's sovereign land down inside the Grand Canyon.
Okay. All right, Jan Markets, we've been along some of these ETFs. They've come flying up. We've been along the XLE. It's come up not to maybe where we want it, but it's getting there. Our GDX and our silver have all made, you know, you could use them a little higher, but basically they're higher than they were. And we're looking at, you know, we're not as convinced that the, in other words, I don't think the XLE is as, or I mean the XL, GDX, sorry, is as screaming of a buy as it was 19, up at pushing 23. I'm still, bullish on it, but I'm at the spot where I might sell some calls. We're kind of at the, you know, I don't know if we're 100% through this rally, but we're somewheres, in my opinion, and we're certainly not at the beginning of it. I mean, what do you make of this? Are we starting to, the stuff that I'm doing for my protected index program that people have been pouring into lately, I rolled all my puts up yesterday, and I got my calls a little bit out of the money, but I'm real tight, John. I think we got a top coming here, but these numbers just keep getting worse and worse. I'm not saying we're going down. I think this little part of the rally is running out of gas, in my opinion. And we'll, you know, who knows? It's not like I'm not long. I am, but I'm not letting any puts way out of the money. I rolled my QQQs up yesterday and a bunch of others. So I don't know. That's where I'm at. Where are you?
No, I'm about the same, to be honest with you. You know, I'm very tight on the puts, just like you're saying. A little bit more liberal with the calls. You know, writing those a little bit closer. You know, things like that. Or the last ones, I should say, that I actually did some of them yesterday because I had some, you know, expiring on Friday.
Yeah, me too.
And so I did a bit of that. And no, I do see this. You know, and obviously, like you point out, the obvious thing is, we've come so far back and things like that. So, you know, chances are higher that at least we would see some sort of a, you know, pause here at a minimum, I think.
Well, this 2800 has been a bugaboo now 2-3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, now a lot of these things are butted up against, you know, some of this resistance and things like that.
Well, that's one of the beauties of this, as you know, John, the PIP, the Protected Index Program, is you don't have to change it to adjust it. I mean, you can be 80 deltas long in there, or you can be 20 deltas long, you know, depending on where you have your calls and your puts, even though you never really let loose of the underlying. But, I mean, a lot of, it's funny, one thing I've learned for, you know, a long time, 30 some years in the business, if you have your plan in place, it seems to me, John and Brandon, that if you just make your routine adjustments, most of the trades end up being pretty good, because you end up essentially getting longer after the market has gone down a ways, and you try and get a little shorter when it goes up in a ways. And once in a while, you know, 2012 or whatever, that just was wrong because it just kept going up, 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 up. You know, whatever the year we were up 25% or whatever it was. I mean, but that's only happened really a couple of times in my lifetime. I mean, it happened probably in 1982, you know, but it was a long time between then and 2012. But I mean, there's more often than not. I mean, the market, even if it is advancing, there's still these. It's like a wave pattern, you know, maybe a little higher lows and a little higher highs. But you still have this chance to maneuver within the movement. You know, you don't really get the 25 days up and then the 25 days down. We've been getting more of that the last, you know, couple of years, I think. But I mean, I still think most of the trade. Where if you are skunked, I mean, if you're short premium and you sold a straddle, which of course we'd never let anybody do, unless they were Daddy Warbucks, and even then it would be small. Those kind of trades where, oh my God, it stacks up $5, if it goes up another five, I'm like broke. Those trades inevitably are bad ones. It seems to me, you know, I gotta buy it here or else I'm skunked. I can guarantee you that's a bad buy. But if you just do your routine adjustments, it's amazing how many of them turn out to be good trades.
Right.
Because you are buying low and selling high, and most of the time, unless you get a really trending market one way, just straight down or straight up, which is fairly rare, the trades end up being pretty good. You want to get a little longer when you're down, a little shorter when you're up, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly correct.
So what's your feel specifically on the gold and I've been looking at this copper. Copper is what's had the big rally lately. There's not an ETF in copper that I like. I've always used this Freeport-McMoRan as kind of a copper deal, but I find them sloppier, John, since they bought the gold company. I mean, it's that.
No question. I own a little bit of the Freeport, but you know, once again, just like you're pointing out, Tom, it's nothing. It's easily, you know, hedgeable per se. I might write a few calls on it, things like that, and watch it, and you know, and I just buy and sell it. I trade it a little bit too, so
yeah. I mean, I always have, but like I said, I've never found it. I mean, Brendan, for a few, you probably know or don't know, but They were like 90% copper, weren't they, John? Then they went out and bought
one time, yeah.
Yeah, then they went out and bought a medium sized gold company. So what do you think they're down to? 60-70% cotton, maybe, or copper.
I mean, they took a good, chunk out of that copper production. You're right. I mean, volume wise.
And it's a little harder. You can't just say, I'm bullish copper, I'm going to buy Freeport. Where, I'm going to say 10 years ago, you probably could have, John. But even then, you don't know how much these guys hedge. That's why it's really tough to do the companies. Remember, how many years ago? It was like 4 or 5 years ago. These guys all of a sudden gold started rallying. And I remember I went and bought Newmont, I bought Barrick Gold, and I bought like four of them. And all of a sudden, only one of them was moving. I go, what the bleep? And, turns out they had all, which they don't really tell you, they'd all hedged. The price of gold hadn't moved in so long that they were all like 80% hedged. So it wasn't for like a year or two later when the hedges came off that they could actually go up because now they were selling their gold for anywhere near market price. So it's sort of tricky in those areas. I mean, sometimes you'll see the GDX run way ahead of the gold price, and then all of a sudden you'll see that it's chasing the gold price. I think a lot of it has to do with how much they've hedged, but I've never been able to find those figures, Jan. Have you? I mean, I don't know. I suppose there's some guys.
Well, to make heads or tails of it. I mean, if you read the their reports and things, the hedges will be in there, but you're not going to really be able to make heads or tails of it. So I have seen it, and also on some of these oil companies too.
Yeah,
it was a similar kind of thing on the individual oil companies.
Well, and I know we've had. Well, Tommy Shanahan used to go on a show, maybe one of these days we can get him back on, but he was our oil expert. And there were times where he'd say, I don't know, it's going up, you want to buy the refineries here because the oil companies are, they've kind of hedged their stuff and the money's in the refineries, and all of a sudden, no, it's in the developers, not the refineries. And there's a whole industry there that I wish I knew more about. I've always said, John, if I had, money from God, I'm dropping in here, and I could hire two analysts. One would be in the oil patch. And one would be in the medical patch. Obviously, I'd love to find the firm that's got the next cure for something. And those are full time jobs for a team of people. You've got to go to these, whatever the conventions. You've got to go to these places and have a couple of coffee with these guys and listen to the speeches and who's doing what and go from booth to booth. And I mean, these are full time jobs to try and learn from that fundamental level. And, I'd love to be able to do it, actually. We're just, maybe someday.
It'd be fun, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be fun, hey, nothing is better, Brendan, than to find some guy with a cure and get in there for 50 cents and 5 years later it's trading 200. I mean, that'd be real nice for us, for clients, for everybody. And it does happen, John. But I think it takes a boatload of work. And it always seems to be, no matter what's happening in oil, there always seems to be somebody in the industry who's a winner and a loser. And you would have thought that as oil has come back up here, that, you're still down, 30 bucks, 80%, not 80%, 40, 45% in Schlumberger. You would never have guessed that if you'd have bought Schlumberger at the beginning of last year. What was it, like 78? Got down to 30, 38, and still only 44. It's bounced, but if you'd have bought it at 38 when we talked about it, it was not obvious it was stopping there. I mean, you didn't know what was wrong with it. It was just a sick puppy dog. And all of a sudden, now things back to 44.79, which if you bought it at 38 is a tremendous last few months, correct? But if you're hanging on to it from 78, you're saying, so what? I got $5 back. I'm still down 30. I mean, obviously being down 30 is better than 35. I get that. But, I mean, it doesn't show any hint of coming back anywhere in the 70s, does it?
No, not at this point in time, not in my opinion.
No, but I don't know. I wish I had somebody I could ask and say, what is it about the new stuff in the Texas, the Permian, and these other places? What is it about these areas that seem to be able to pump oil and do all kinds of stuff seemingly without Schlumberger when they're the biggest supplier in the business? Somebody must be getting that business. Now, the question is who? And should we have bought them? I mean, maybe, but I neither one of us know that. But I would love to know that. Obviously, the whole world would too. But
right.
And we're not the only ones that want to read these memos. But it's fun. I mean, but I think there is somewhat of a return to that, John. I mean, I don't think you'd win all the time, but I can't imagine we would have just shorted Schlumberger at 78 and ridden at 40 points. I mean, There's no way we would have done that, even if we had Harry Houdini as our analyst, right?
Right, now you would have taken it off at some point prior to that, exactly.
Yeah, if we'd have made a
at least part of it, you know.
I bet, Brendan, if we shorted it at 78, we'd have been eager buyers at 70. And 70 had thought we were geniuses, right? Then all of a sudden, the thing is running down to 36, and we go, hey, we seem to have missed $34 of this move.
Oops.
Oops. But, so, John, overall, right now, where do you see, we just had this housing number come out that's horrible. Do you think things are okay or they're slowing? What are you seeing? I'm seeing things slowing, but I got this jaundiced Illinois view on things. Kenny says in his area, other than people being kind of flummoxed by their taxes, which he thinks is an issue, maybe with the Home Depot and other places with people's rebates not being as big, or tax returns, what are you seeing at your end? I mean, is Phoenix healthy? Does it look like this housing starts affecting your area? Are you guys immune to it? I mean, what's going on?
I would agree. I see that it looks to be a little bit softer. I'm not seeing as much new production out there, you know, as far as the subdivision, things like that. I'm not seeing, just going through the neighborhoods, as many, for sale signs. I don't know if any people are staying put. Multifamily, definitely not a heck. Pretty close to my neighborhood, they're building the first apartment complex in quite some time, but, I would agree with that. I'm just not seeing as much, not that I have the figures, but I'm just not noticing as much of that stuff, Tom.
Well, if you think we're slowing a little bit, which some of these Fed reports, the Philly Fed, the Empire State, the question is why? I don't see anything that would cause it. I mean, I can't believe the entire country misjudged their taxes to such a point where now it's an issue that everybody's $2,000 short. I mean, I guess that could be part of it, but I haven't heard of a lot of layoffs. We haven't seen the labor numbers come in and show everybody all of a sudden turning the wrong way. I mean, if it is slowing like I sense it is, I'm absolutely flummoxed as to why.
Right. I think out here, unemployment's relatively healthy, to be honest with you. So.
Well, that's what I mean. In this area, I can always fall back on the relentless fees and tax increases that we seem to be getting almost every month here. But I think that's become a drain in this particular area. But I don't think that's countrywide. I mean, I hope it isn't.
I don't see any great increases in things like that, out here in the West. But, going to California and you're forever hearing, added taxation for this, that, and the other thing.
Well, they continue to think that those people out there make so much money, no matter what it is, they'll be able to, they'll pay it.
Right.
Which is fine until one day. You don't have that problem because look at what California is so tied to that income tax in that Silicon Valley. I mean, man, if they ever got a 10% layoff there, the state goes under, for God's sake. I mean, that's
yeah. I have a client that lives San Jose, which is that Arizona area you're talking about, but up on a real nice place up on on top of a mountain, really, where the real kind of exclusive area, and he just finally is throwing up his hands this year, and he's just, sick of it, getting nickeled and dimed to death, but, packing it in and moving to Oregon, so.
Yeah, it's really something, why people seemingly to work for, the bureaucrats always think other people have unlimited money. It's pretty scary. Well, Janet, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you on Friday. SP Futures down 750, and NASDAQ Futures down 32. Again, movers on the day are Caterpillar down 541. Home Depot is leaking almost as much. Actually, now it's down 608, so it's leaking even more than Caterpillar. And we've got Tesla's down like 10 bucks based on Elon Musk came out. Now he's going to – well, actually going down 777. It was down 10. They've come back a little bit as he – SEC is asking the court to put him in contempt. So this will be an interesting story as the week winds out. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks, big week. Keep tuned with us.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.